Lovely to see you here, whether you're gathered with us in person or joining with us online. You're very welcome to our service of worship here at St. Field Road Presbyterian Church. It's great to hear a bit of buzz of chat in here, but just in case you haven't, just again, take a few seconds and give a warm welcome to those sitting around you. Take a few seconds to do that now. Oh, morning. Great. Thank you, guys. I was feeling very isolated. Everyone was having the crack down there. Folks, I'm here this morning because, unfortunately, our minister, Ben, is off with COVID. And we wish Ben a quick recovery, and he's hoping to be back in regular action, hopefully by the middle of the week. But Ben being Ben, fabulous, has recorded his message for us, so he still will be appearing to us later to bring God's word. That means that, unfortunately, the baptism of Henry Withers won't happen today, but will be postponed until later on this year. But we are still going to be joining in communion together one more time before summer, and we're thankful to Leslie Ann, who will lead us later on in communion. Quite a number of announcements, as usual at this time of year, so please pay attention. Congratulations, first of all, to all who climbed Slieve Croob last Sunday. I think we've got a wee photograph maybe coming up here. That was in support of Christian Aid. Looking pretty blustery at the top there, but fabulous effort from the team there. And if you owe them any sponsorship money, then please do try to get that to Ian Mullen as quickly as possible. Also, we're delighted that our annual review from 2021 is now printed and available. So hopefully most people may have received their copy by now, but if not, that will probably be delivered over the next few days. Coming up this week, a few things that are happening. So on Thursday evening, there is the LICC event that will be helping us to think about whole life discipleship. That's their 40-city tour that's coming to Belfast. It's going to be in the Riddle Hall. That's this Thursday, the 30th of June at 7:30, and you can register free online. And Paul Woolley, who will be speaking there, is also coming here to speak at St. Field Road next Sunday, the 3rd of July. We look forward to hearing from him. Also on Thursday night, for those who are this way inclined, there is an SRPC football match for over 25s versus under 25s. I think that's age and not weight. And that's at 7:15 at the Billy Neal Pitches. And everyone is welcome. And for more info, speak to Craig Emerson or Chris Pollock. Also to say, we're really thankful for all who lead and give of their time every week in caring for and discipling our children. So over summer, we want to honour those who help and lead. We want to create a little bit more space for them. So our arrangements going forward, creche in July and August, the creche room will be available for parents to use during the church service, but our creche staff will be off on a little break. And we do want to say a huge thank you to Linda Burgess and the team for their commitment to this ministry throughout the year. There's going to be no scheduled children's programs on Sunday for the next 2 weeks, but we hope families will still join us in worship and are welcome to use the halls if needed. After that, 3 weeks' time onwards, we will provide a summer ARC program for children aged up to 8 years old. And our regular children's programs will return in September. Okay, so it's also schism time again, and Karen Vincent, who's a member of Knockbreda Parish, is coordinating the catering team, who are going to be providing food for around 60 people each day, 60 hungry people, I'm sure. And so she would be especially grateful for any donations of money towards the shopping bill. There's also going to be a list of items that can be bought and left in for the team, and that will become available over the next week or so. And in addition, she needs some helpers to serve in the kitchen. So if you're willing to offer any donations or be a volunteer to help in the kitchen, Marty Hamilton will be in the hub afterwards with a big friendly smile and will be grateful to receive your support. Staying with food, this Friday is our first of the summer cafes. Oh, okay, I was hoping for a bit more whip, but yeah, all right, fair enough. It's open to all and starting at 10:30, and we've got four of those, as you can see, scheduled throughout summer. We'd love to have you along at that. And the following week, that's the 8th of July, from 3 to 4pm, the Summer Serve team, that's made up of many of our young people, will be organising an afternoon for coffee and chat in the hub and coffee bar area. That's to get to know each other over a cuppa and a bun. Everyone is also welcome to that, but with a special invitation to those from Tuesday break. And if anyone would like to come but needs a lift or some assistance to get here, please let me know. And breathe. In Exodus 33 and 34, we see Moses making a big request to God. He says, "Show me your glory. Show me who you are, Lord." And the Lord answers by passing in front of him at Mount Sinai, declaring, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. Moses' response to that was to bow to the ground at once and worship. And our Lord is still all of these things today. He is worthy of our praise. So let's stand together and worship him together as we sing two songs, 10,000 Reasons and Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Let's worship him together. Well, let's continue to turn our eyes to our Lord as we bow together in prayer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise, bless, and worship you this morning for the uncountable ways that you demonstrate your love and your care for us. We pause together to thank you for the many benefits that are ours through your sovereign grace, your inexhaustible mercy, and your boundless generosity. Father, we're so grateful for the forgiveness of all of our sins. Not just the ones before we became Christians, not just the sins we acknowledge and confess, not just the 10% of our sins that we're actually aware of. You've forgiven all of our sins, past, present, and future, through the work of Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah, Father, for such lavish love. Father, we praise you also for healing all of our diseases. Father, though it will take to the second coming of Jesus to complete, you have secured our complete healing, body, mind, and spirit. Your gospel is that big and good and comprehensive that one day we will sing and serve in the new heaven and the new earth, loving you with all of our glorified heart, soul, mind, and strength. Hallelujah for such a living hope. Father, we worship you for rescuing our lives from all kinds of pits. The pit of eternal separation from you. The pits of our own foolish design and digging. The pits we've fallen into in this broken world. And even the pits into which others have pushed us. Hallelujah, Father, for your rescuing grace. And by your grace, Father, we know that you will satisfy every aspect of our being. You'll satisfy it with yourself and with your countless good gifts, both in this life and in the life to come. Hallelujah, Father, for Jesus, our awesome Savior. Help us to keep singing this day, to keep singing this week, and forevermore. For it's in Jesus' matchless name that we pray. Amen. Well, we love it whenever our young people step out to serve Jesus. And James and Caitlin are going to be serving on an Exodus team this summer. So you'd love to hear more about it, wouldn't you? Yes. Lovely. I'm glad you said that. That's good. Come on, James and Caitlin. Come on up. There you go. Make yourself at home. Okay, just in case people don't know you, I know maybe some down there might like to know you less, but just in case people don't know you, share your name, what school you go to, and what you had for breakfast this morning.
I'm James. I'm a Grosvenor, and I kind of had bread for breakfast. I was in a bit of a rush.
Is that because you get up at 5 to 11?
No.
I'm Caitlin, and I go to Victoria. I know it's bad to say, but I didn't have breakfast.
Oh, most important meal of the day, Caitlin. It's going to be a big lunch now. Lovely. Okay. So we want to find out a wee bit about what you're going to be doing this summer. So I'll come to James. You first. Tell us a bit about what team you're on, what you're, you know, where are you actually going, and when are you going?
So our team is Team 5. We have nine in our team, including our two leaders, Harry and Hannah. So for our launch event, which Caitlin will tell you a bit about, we're in Donegal in a boarding school in Raphoe, and that's just for a couple of days. And then we'll drive down to Westport, which is just about halfway down the west coast of the Republic, and that's where we'll be for a week.
Lovely. And Caitlin, tell us a wee bit about some of the things that you'll be doing on team. What sort of things will be happening?
Well, at the launch event, we will be doing a meeting with other teams and bonding exercises, games, and a bit of Bible study before we actually get down to Westport. And then in Westport, we will be taking three church services, one in Westport Church and then two in Castlebar. So we get there on the Saturday, and then on the Sunday we take the morning and evening, and then the Sunday that we leave we take that one. And at the church services we will be doing, like, we'll be taking the church takeover, so we'll be our team will be taking the service, so we'll be doing the children's address and sharing our testimonies, which is quite a nerve-wracking thing in front of people we don't know. But
absolutely, yeah. We'd hope you see the church takeover here whenever you go back as well. Great. What other things will you be doing?
Yeah, so I did an access team last year, and it was quite structured in that, like, every day was kind of the same. But we got our plan for this year, and it's really not that. It's quite different every day. So on the Monday we first get there, we're on the beach with the youth all day. And then the other days consist of, like, home visits. And there's one day we're doing practical stuff in the church. And then we have a day off, as we should.
Yes.
There's a mountain near where we're staying called Kirkpatrick. And it's quite famous for walking up it barefoot. And I've made it very clear that if I'm being made to walk up a mountain, I'm not doing it barefoot.
Very good. I think some people here will have climbed Kirkpatrick as well. Maybe they'll say hello and tell you their story at the end of the end of the service. I'm going to ask this one to both of you. We'll maybe go to Caitlin first. What one thing are you most looking forward to on your placement and your time away?
Probably meeting new friends down there, like the youth people, like our age down in Westport, just like here and there, like experiences, and just meeting new people will be like a good opportunity to grow.
Yeah, so in terms of, like, dinner, very important when we're down there. We're going to split into, like, two groups, and it'll be maybe four of us in one member of the congregation house, and then five of us in another house, and that'll be nice just to get to know, like, different people across different families and stuff across the church, and have dinner with them.
Lovely. So big thing in hospitality. And food, James. Food features very highly. Excellent. Caitlin, you've been meeting on your team for 4 months already. You've been meeting weekly for Bible study and team time. What's been good about team life so far?
So we went to the Exodus Centre in Coleraine at Easter for our team residential. So we meet every week for like 2 hours, but it's not really like enough to get to know each other really well. So going away in Easter was a really good way to get to know each other before we go away and spend 10 days together in summer. So it was a good way to get to know each other before we go away.
Great, because a lot of you didn't know each other beforehand as well. So those friendships forming were really, really important. Okay, both of you, let's come to James first over this one. What do you think about one thing that God has been teaching you personally through your time on team so far?
Yeah, so as Caitlin and Johnny said, we meet weekly, and we do like a Bible study and pray together and stuff every week. And for the Bible study, you're given like structured readings, maybe 4 or 5 readings every week that you do, and then we go over them when we meet. So I think, I don't want to say forced, but like it's good to be pushed into consistently reading the Bible, because, not that I have to, but it's good that like I have that kind of, being pushed into reading it. And it's good to kind of form that consistency of reading the Bible, praying together,
It's great. Thank you, James. Team's great for building those habits. Yep.
I think meeting every week and opening the Bible together and praying together just gives us more confidence to do it down in Westport in front of people we don't know. So I feel like it just is such a good opportunity.
Thanks, Caitlin. Both of you, we'll start with Caitlin here. We want to be praying for you. We want to be part of what God's doing in you and through you this summer. So how can we best pray for you and your team this summer?
I think pray for confidence for us, because obviously going down to Westport, I've never been before. Don't know what it's going to be like, don't know what the people are going to be like. So probably pray for confidence, and sharing our testimonies is such a personal thing. And even when you're doing it in front of people you know, it's still nerve-wracking. But doing it in front of like a church congregation that we don't know, that'd be like nerve-wracking. So,
Great. James?
Yeah, so, we received like a booklet of like the RDR, what exactly we'll be doing, and that's great. Like it's a great wee book, and like it's been structured really well. But I think it's also important that like as a team and personally with everyone, that like we listen to what God is telling us to do, and we're obedient to his will and what he wants us to do, as well as sticking to our plan. So it's just, yeah, just prayer for that. We're eager to listen, even if we do have a structured plan of what we want to do.
Great. Well, look, let me just take a moment and lead us in a prayer for you now. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you for Caitlin and James, and for Harry and Hannah, the team leaders, and for the rest of the team, and their willingness to step out and serve you this summer, to go to somewhere unknown and to bring you to the people there. And we pray that as they step out, that you would give them an ever-deepening confidence in you, a confidence that you're with them, a confidence that you're forming their faith, a confidence that you'll speak to them through your word and in their team times together. And as they listen to you, Lord, I pray that they would be able to step out boldly into the things that you ask them to do, that your spirit would be transforming lives of those who are young and old. And I pray, Lord, especially as they share their testimonies this summer, that you would be speaking through them into the hearts of the people gathered and leading people to Jesus. May this be a time when both Caitlin and James grow so much in their faith, but also a time in which other people encounter Jesus and his grace and his love for the first time through these guys. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Great, guys. We're excited to hear all that happens this summer. Good, good. Now, before our boys and girls and young people go out to ARC and JCBs, let's stand and worship together as we sing All Through History. Let's stand and worship together.
this is readings taken from Hebrews chapter 11. There's just a couple of different verses. So verse 1 to 3. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we see now did not come from anything that can be seen. And then we go to verse 32 to 40. How much do I need to say? It could take too long to recount the stories of faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death, but others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed by the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, and destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised, for God had something better in mind for us, so that they could not reach perfection without us. And then chapter 12, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honour because of God's throne. Think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people, then you won't become weary and give up.
Thank you, Zara. This is God's word to you this morning. God's word is alive and active. And let's just pray before Ben speaks to us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your living word this morning and for all that Ben has prepared, albeit from a distance. But we just invite your Holy Spirit to come now to minister to us through the preaching of God's word. Amen.
Here I am on video again and isolating again. Well, just me and Big Ben here. As ever, I'm so grateful for others stepping in to do bits this morning. Johnny leading the first part of our service, and Leslie Ann, who's going to be leading us in communion. Derek, who looks after so much around the place, but stepping in this morning as acting clerk of session when session met this morning, because poor Alistair is also down with COVID too, completely separately, I might add, from me. But it's a good reminder, isn't it, that we still need to be careful, and especially stay away and stay at home if you have symptoms. I'm so thankful to God for this church and for so many people who use their gifts in so many ways. That's been evident not least in the people who've taken part in one way or another, and lots of them in our services over the past couple of weeks. I'm especially grateful to Grace in her leading and speaking last week. And then there's all our musicians down here, I guess, depending on which screen you're watching this on, and all our techie people kind of up there, and lots of people during the week too, who do so much that is unseen. I'm so grateful. Thank you. It's wonderful and it's right for a minister just to be a small part of something much bigger, and in that sense to be quite dispensable. I guess I could have asked someone else to speak too this week, but I was keen to do this in as far as I could. And not because I'm worried you'll get withdrawal symptoms from me, though it was the Ark service 2 weeks ago, and then I was elsewhere last week, and next week we have Paul Woolley speaking, and then the next week I'm scheduled to be in Beaver. So I guess you could legitimately be asking, do we have a minister? Anyone? But actually, with all that, and here at this juncture with the end of term, the kind of end of the school year feeling, and with summer approaching, and with communion, I wanted briefly still to be able to speak with you, even though I'm stuck here. I've been planning for a while that we'd have the passage Zara read from Hebrews 11 and 12, because the plan is for us to have a series on Hebrews 11 over the summer. I'll come back to that in a few moments. And then I tested positive for COVID, and I felt like I'd been taken 6 months or more back. And I also suppose I felt maybe there's also some learning from those pandemic days that we mustn't lose. And I was supposed to be at the General Assembly this week, but instead I was watching it online. And there on Thursday, as I was throwing around in my mind what I would say, the morning worship was based on this very same passage from Hebrews. And that felt like a bit of a sign. Anyway, with the Spirit stirring all of those things around in my head, my heart, I've settled on two very short words or phrases to leave with you this morning. On the face of it, two contradictory, but actually two complementary words as we are in this moment. Stop and keep going. Stop and keep going. Stop as an encouragement to stop for rest and renewal. And keep going as an encouragement to persevere in our faith. Think about the chapter we heard, Hebrews 11. It begins in verses 1 and 2 with a definition of faith. It takes us through the stories, just touching on them, of many Old Testament characters, faith-filled characters. And it continues into chapter 12, we heard the beginning of. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, those Old Testament characters, let's persevere. On one hand, Hebrews 11 is a call to stop. To stop and be refreshed and renewed. To stop and think about what faith is. To stop and learn from those great examples of faith. To stop and consider what it means to believe what God has promised. To stop and make sure our eyes are fixed on Jesus, that we're considering him, that we know his grace is enough. On the other hand, though, it's an encouragement to keep going in the faith. Keep trusting that there is more to life than meets the eye, more than what can be seen that is before us. To keep following the examples of those who have gone before us. To throw off what's holding us back and keep persevering in hope. To keep fixing our eyes on Jesus. To keep knowing and living, knowing that he is on the throne. Well, stop and keep going, I guess, are lessons that COVID has taught us and perhaps is keeping teaching us. The pandemic and the lockdown forced us to stop, didn't they? They perhaps forced some of us to find rest in a restless world. In our busyness with so many material concerns and all the things going on before our eyes, it caused us, among other things, to take time to consider, well, what is important? It certainly took away our certainties and our plans and asked us where our faith and our hope are actually rooted. It caused us to stop and rest and reflect. Don't just do something, sit there. But it's also stirred us to keep going in faith. So what is important? What is sure and certain? What is this faith we share and we live out and that we wanted to be back together to encourage one another in? The unseen virus causes uncertainty, but the far greater, invisible creator has made a world of purpose and brought sure hope into it. Our faith that he is sovereign, that in Jesus, the King on the throne, he will bring about all he has promised, is what helps us not grow weary in hope and not lose heart, even if the body slumps. That is our sure hope, whatever else is uncertain and as yet unseen. So here I am. And maybe there you are too, remembering the COVID lessons of stopping to rest and reflect, and not losing some of those reflections about our busyness and what is of value, but also the lesson that whatever else may happen, we have a sure hope in which we keep going. But stop and keep going are words to take into the summer too. Since lockdown ended, a lot of us are back into busier routines, routines of church and work and family life and whatever else. And perhaps for a good number of us, there were tiring routines all throughout lockdown. And there hasn't yet been much space for rest and a holiday. I wonder if there is a sense of tiredness and dis-ease even around our greater society. I'm not saying a good holiday will fix all our woes, but stopping to take rest, having a rhythm of rest in a day and a week and a year, that's important, isn't it? The moderator's theme for the General Assembly, the new moderator, John Kirkpatrick, introduced his theme for the Assembly and beyond, and it is Grace Works, which is a great multiplay on words. It recognises that we are saved by grace and not works, but it recognises that grace works when we receive grace in our life, and that good works flow from God's grace in Jesus. But grace is about receiving. And unless we take time to rest and receive God's grace and be renewed, rather than keep on working, we'll burn out. And what we do will not be fueled by grace, by God, and it won't be effective. So get away, or don't get away. Go and see Big Ben or something else. But let me encourage you to take rest this summer. And as a church, we stop. We stop various meetings and groups, and we want to give those who teach our children a rest. As Johnny's probably been saying about how we'll structure children's work on Sundays over the summer. And we'll maybe worship a little more simply than we do at times, just to try to ensure that we all stop and rest as we need to. But I also want to encourage you to keep going over the summer. Keep going in faith. I recognise that summer can be hard. There are folks for whom summer doesn't look any different from the rest of the year, whose routines don't change, who aren't getting away while others are. Summer can seem long. It's with that in mind that things like Summer Cafe are there to provide friendship and fellowship and joy across the summer. An opportunity to keep going with each other in encouragement and faith. And perhaps we might think too how that can happen in other informal ways for those we know. And summer can be hard to keep good routines of discipleship when all the other routines of life and school and work are up in the air. Let me encourage you to keep going this summer. To make this a time not just to stop, but to keep going in fixing your eyes on Jesus, on being refreshed in faith, and letting your personal routines, you do that. But also in terms of us together. I remember as a child wondering why church didn't stop. Why didn't break up when school did? Mum, why do we keep on going to church when it's the holidays? Well, faith doesn't stop over the summer, does it? Even if other things do. So let me encourage you to keep gathering to worship over the summer. Persevere with coming to be encouraged and be an encouragement in faith. I know people will be away at lots of different times, and sometimes summer can be a time things feel a bit thin and we maybe can't be bothered, but keep going, keep coming. Or find somewhere to go where you are, or join us online from your caravan, or whatever. Hebrews 10 verse 25 says, "Let's not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another." So next Sunday, first Sunday of summer, Paul Woolley from LICC will be here and speaking from Hebrews 12, coming back to these words we had heard from the bookend of the passage. Do come and hear him. He's a great speaker with really helpful things to say. And then throughout the summer, in the coming weeks, we'll look through this chapter, Hebrews 11. It's full of examples of people who looked to what God had promised to them, together with us, and who kept going in that faith. Examples to encourage us to keep persevering in the faith. We'll look at different characters each week, not quite in the order they are in Hebrews 11, that would be too simple, wouldn't it? But some select different characters from what's sometimes called the Hall of Faith. And because people are away, each one stands alone as a story of faith, but they all have that theme of faith running through them to encourage us across the summer to keep going. But before we even get to the summer, we come to communion this morning. We come to stop and receive from Jesus, to stop right here and be fed, physically but profoundly spiritually, to be renewed in grace and mercy, but also to be strengthened to keep going in faith, to keep proclaiming the Lord Jesus until he comes. So in the words of Hebrews, we come to fix our eyes on Jesus, to look back at the one who for the joy set before him endured the cross for us, to look up to the one who now sits on the throne over all things, to look forward to the fulfillment of all that Jesus, going before us, has promised to bring about, things unseen at the moment, but by faith we can be sure of. And to look around and acknowledge the saints who in faith have gone before us, and the saints sitting right around us at this moment, with whom we live life together with Jesus. May this moment and may this summer be a time both to stop and receive and keep going in the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his grace and for his glory. Amen.
So now, as we prepare our hearts, we're going to stand together to praise him with two more pieces of worship. As we are gathered, Jesus is here. So let that thought stay with you as we sing him. And then the second piece is No One But You, Lord. Let's stand together and praise God.
Jesus.
The table of our Lord Jesus Christ has been prepared for us, and we're going to share in this communion together. This meal is open for all true believers, all of us who are sorry for our sins and sincerely desire to follow Jesus Christ as our Saviour and Lord, are welcome to share in this meal. If this is something through faith that you would like to join in with regularly, please do talk to Ben about becoming a communicant member. It's not simply for those of us who have been communicant members for a long time. As a minister, I have welcomed someone in their 90s to become a communicant member, down to a whole family with younger children, all coming to the Lord's table. It is Jesus' invitation to each one of us to come, to look fully into his wonderful face, and to receive the invitation to this special meal. So we gather as a family of God's people, invited by Jesus Christ, the head of the family. Through the ages, God has faithfully led his people through trial and difficulty, celebration and success. But we come now to reflect on Christ's death and resurrection and the hope that we have for a better tomorrow. By remembering the last meal he shared with his followers when he broke bread and drank wine with them, we are strengthened and refreshed in our faith. So in these moments together, he invites us to stop and rest. In our weariness, he invites us once again to persevere, to keep going. So listen to his invitation from Matthew 11:28 as it's read in the message. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And so as we eat and drink this morning together, we experience God's love in an amazing way as children of the promise that has been carried down through the centuries and will continue to be carried forward into the future. As his holy children, we are his special possession, totally forgiven, given a true purpose and a certain hope of a glorious inheritance. We journey as family toward that inheritance, stopping to rest, but keeping going in faith. So let's now remind ourselves what happened when Jesus ate this supper with his disciples. Paul writes in the words that we call the institution, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So we're invited to receive with gladness. We come, young and old. We come maybe as those with much faith, maybe as those who would like more. We come as God's people who have tried to follow Jesus. We come as those who have failed. We come because Jesus invites us to meet with him and to know the grace and joy and promises that are ours through him. So will you join with me now as we stand And as a sign of oneness as family in Christ, we say together the Apostles' Creed. One Lord, one faith, one hope, one Father. Please stand. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He was sent to hell. On the third day, he rose again. He is to heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. We're going to join together now in a prayer of thanksgiving. Just invite you to reflect on your life between this communion and the last time you received communion, and to make these words your prayer. Let us pray. Father God, you invite us to share together in this meal around your table. And we come looking up to you, giving you our praise and thanks, for you are an awesome and powerful God who made this world and all that is in it. And you are a faithful and loving God who made us and called us to be your people. We come looking to receive from you, that you would graciously speak to us, reminding us and assuring us that we are your people, holy and dearly loved. We come looking back at what Jesus has done for us. We thank you for your Son who lived, died, and rose again, that we may know you and know forgiveness and life with you. We thank you that we share in the power of Jesus' blood poured out for us. We come looking forward to what this means. We thank you for your promises of new life, of your Spirit in us, and a wonderful future in your new creation with you, which we are guaranteed through Jesus who will come again. We come looking inwards at ourselves. We thank you that even though we don't deserve a seat at your table, you forgive us and invite us to come. We come looking outwards. We thank you for each other, that we are one people, family in Christ, and we share in this meal together. We thank you that we share this faith with all your people around the world and all the saints in glory. Will you move among us now by your Holy Spirit as we eat and drink, and seal in each one of us those great promises you have given to us through Jesus Christ. Strengthen us through this meal by your Spirit to be a distinctive and living witness to the world around us of your good news of grace. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In a moment, the bread will come to you. All of the bread is gluten-free. So please take a piece, but hold on to it, and we will all eat together. And then we'll do the same with the wine, which is non-alcoholic, but we'll drink our cup at the same time. And then hold on to your glass or carefully place it on the floor, and we will collect them in at the end. So these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them, remembering that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts with thanksgiving. So on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and broke it and said to his disciples, "This is my body broken for you. Eat in remembrance of me." And so this bread we share is a sharing in the body of Christ. Feed on him, the body of Christ broken for you. In the same way, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup represents the new covenant of my blood poured out for you. The wine will now be distributed." The cup for which we give thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ, the blood of Christ shed for us. Amen. And now our closing hymn this morning is a celebration of the faith that we read about in Hebrews 11. Let's stand and praise him with the hymn, By Faith.
Going to take a moment to pray for our church family and for others. If you want to take a seat, we'll pray. So we thank you, Father God, for a new opportunity this morning to come together as a church family, to spend time in your presence, to be fed
from your table. And now to go out and to spend time with one another over coffee and conversation. And so, Lord Jesus, we thank you for this church family. We thank you for being with us over the last 2 years. And we thank you for the joy in being here together more regularly again as a worshiping people. We thank you for bringing Alistair Bill safely through his surgery last week. And we pray for him and Angela in his ongoing recovery. We thank you for bringing Samuel Wardlow safely into the world last week. And we pray for the Wardlows as a family in these early days together. We thank you for our young people, James and Caitlin and others, who this summer go out to share the good news of the gospel, both in our own streets and town and further afield. We pray that as they bring your message of hope to others, that it would be an opportunity and a time for them to grow as well as to bring your message of hope. And Lord, we think of Shankill Road Community Church, where so many of our young people served last summer. And Lord, whilst we're not going to be there this summer, we know that you still are active and moving in the life of that church family in that place on the Shankill Road. And so, Lord, we pray for that church and for their growing witness and for their membership and leadership. And Lord, we thank you for the wider life of the Presbyterian Church. We thank you for the General Assembly this week. And we commit to you all the decisions that were made this week that will have implications for the year ahead, for the direction of our church life. We thank you for the new moderator, and we pray your blessing upon him and your wisdom for him and all that he does. And we thank you for David Bruce. We thank you for the leadership that he has brought both to our church and also in so many ways to our nation in the last 2 years. And so we pray that you would bless him for all that he has done to spread your word and to speak words of Christian love and grace into all sorts of situations over the last 2 years. And Lord, we think of our own nation and government and those who lead over us. And Lord, we know that we're called to pray for those who have positions of leadership over us. So we pray for our government, both nationally and here in Northern Ireland. We pray for wisdom and humility. We pray for, particularly in Northern Ireland, we pray for a way through the deadlock and a restoration of the executive here so that decisions can be made that will bring blessing to people and relief to so many of the difficulties that we and people across our nation face at this time. And Lord, we, as we close, we are so conscious of the needs within our own city and country and across our world. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to have the faith to know that you are bigger than any one particular difficult situation. And we pray, particularly this morning, for those affected by the earthquake in Afghanistan. We pray for those working to bring relief, and for those, particularly international humanitarian organizations that work in a really difficult space. We pray that you would bring wisdom in decision-making and in negotiations with the Taliban and with others that need to be negotiated with. And Lord, it makes us so thankful for all that we have in our homes and in our safe church family. And Lord, we think of those in Afghanistan this morning who own your name and who may or may not have the opportunity to meet together with their brothers and sisters. Lord, we pray for safety and for protection and for blessing upon your church, however it looks today in Afghanistan. And we pray the too for the same for your church in Ukraine, for those that own your name in that nation, and who suffer so much and are struggling in so many ways. Lord, we pray that the power of the gospel would be upheld in big ways and in small in the week ahead through your people facing so many difficult situations right across your world. And Lord, this morning, as we have stopped to reflect on your goodness to us, on your goodness through the generations and through the years. So Lord, I pray that you would help us in the week ahead to keep going. Lord, for the things that are set before us this week, be that school or study or work or family caring responsibilities, whatever it may be, Lord, I pray that you would give us the grace and the strength to face whatever challenges will come to us in the week ahead. We pray that we would face them in the full knowledge and assurance that you go with us and you go before us. And Lord, we offer all of these prayers to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
So much, Ruth. It was very important that we hear those prayers, and I'm sorry for omitting them immediately after communion. So perhaps we could just go off script and sing a final chorus then before we go out. Would that be nice to do that? Just one chorus of the last hymn, which is one of my favourites, and then I will pronounce the benediction. Loving God, you promise never to leave us nor to forsake us. Give us faith to walk with you through the celebrations and sorrows of this life, through the days that are mundane or boring and the days that are exciting. Bless us most of all with the assurance that we all hope for in Jesus Christ. And now in his grace, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will His love be with you now and forevermore. Amen.